In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 30, December 6th, 1931. And Jesus says to Louisa, you must know. And if you haven't read the book, you must know. It's all in all 36 volumes. Jesus tells Louisa, Louisa, you must know this to live in the divine will. And when you read, it's free on louisapicaretta.me. And there's many books there. It's basically narrowing down, concretizing what Jesus is saying throughout all 36 volumes. And there's different books. Like, for example, you have the Cross is Sacrament. Wait till you read that. It shows us why we go through what we're going through, our physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings, why God wants us to go through this. And, you know, that many other books, do you know, Jesus says to Louisa, Louisa, do you know this? And then he explains something to her. So it's really helpful to learn about the divine will through these, small books that are basically from the Book of Heaven. And they're about certain themes that Jesus talks about, which we're doing right here with the light of the divine will. So he says, you must know that our divine will is all eyes over the happy creature. The happy creature who wants to live of the divine will. This all eyes is in the book of Revelation, all eyes inside and out. God wants us to participate in what he is desired for humanity from the beginning. When he breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God, which at that point was, the image and likeness of God. I mean, God wants humanity to share in his divinity. This is why the priest every day at Holy Mass puts the drop of water into the chalice filled with wine. We're that drop of nothing entering into that cup filled with wine, and that drop of water becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It doesn't separate. So what Jesus is saying is you must know that our divine will is all eyes from, you know, basically from the book of Revelation over that happy creature. Because when you read the book of heaven, you are happy. When you read the book of heaven, everything is peace, joy, and happiness. It's a delight. And I could always tell when someone in the divine will isn't reading because they're not happy. What's missing is the joy. Jesus says, I want to give you my joy so that your joy may be complete. So the divine will is all eyes over the happy creature who wants to live in it. Jesus says the divine will is for all of humanity. But he says to Louisa, in reality, it's for only those who want it. See, God can't force himself on us. We have a free will. Now, what do we choose? With our free will, do we choose to live in our misery, which is our human will, or to live in God's holy divine will? We have to choose. That's why when you make a good confession, you are happy. When you make a good confession, you are full of grace. And at that point, your life is happy. You feel happy, this happiness of heaven within you. God forgives and he forgets all our sins. And then we receive absolution from the priest. This is such a great joy, a great gift that God has given to his children. This happiness is when you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. A priest friend of mine, when he was having difficulties in his parish, he said, I'm sitting here in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance, until Jesus answers my prayer. And every day he would sit there and pray. And every day the Lord would answer his prayer. Sometimes it might take a little longer, but he knew God was going to take care of it. He knew God was going to take care of the situation. So the happy creature who wants to live in the divine will, and as she does her acts, as she learns to pray her rounds, the acts and the rounds and the divine will. It gives her its bath of divine light, this cleansing of divine light. So when Jesus says he is the light of the world, this is what happens. The truth bathes us in his light, his life, his love. And this freeing of our human to live in the divine. So we're in a fallen nature. Jesus has redeemed us. And now Jesus wants to sanctify us. And this is what the divine will is all about. And that's why Jesus says, you must know this, that when you enter into the divine will, you're given a bath of divine light, divine life, divine love. It's always the three, reflection of the Trinity for the soul who wants to live in the divine will. It's really a great blessing that God is giving to his people. This bath refreshes the soul. This is what God is doing. This bath makes the soul feel the divine coolings. It's the passions are overcome by this divine cooling. This is what God is doing for us. He's refreshing us, bringing us back to where we were before the fall. Not fully yet, but it gives us hints of this. And these hints bring joy. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, as you continue to read, refreshness comes back to us. This renewal comes back to us. The thing that God shows us in the writings is, the renovation of the face of the earth, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So a lot of people get overwhelmed with what's going on. They become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. They begin to doubt God. And what the divine will does is it says, okay, we trust in you, Lord. We believe in you. We have confidence in you. And the Lord goes, good, I've got plans. Trust the plan. We've heard that. A lot of people go, I'm not trusting the plan. But the plan is to be glorified. The plan is to get ready for the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. The plan is God wins and we are with God. And as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, Jesus is teaching you the how and the why God is going to win, how he's going to do this and why he's going to do this. The reason he's going to do this is he loves us so much. He loves humanity so much that he is asking us to come to him amid the trials and temptations, come to him among all that is happening all around us, within our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our parishioners, with the nations. Come to Jesus, he says, come to me and I'll take care of it. So this refreshness happens us, this divine coolings takes us away from our passions of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. God wants us to so trust him that no matter what we face, God is with us. That's Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc, you know, a young 16-year-old girl leading an army into battle and winning. And she says very, very clearly, I'm not afraid. She says, I was born for this time, you know, and then finally, God is with me. This life, this love, this light of God is reflected in us as we begin to trust in him more. That's why the final devotion is Jesus, I trust in you. The final devotion, Divine Mercy, is to get us ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, getting us ready for what we have to go through and what do we have to go through. I mean, if you really are seeking what we have to go through, it's the warning, the miracle, the 3 days of darkness, the illumination of conscience. Somehow, some way, all that's going to happen, maybe all together, maybe in a different order, but it's going to happen. And God wants us to get ready because he has predestined us to live at this time. He has predestined us to long for his return. You know, this is why when we read Louisa, we see she loves Jesus so much. She longs for Jesus so much. She desires Jesus so much. And it puts us to shame. We don't long for God. We do our own thing most of the time. That's why we got to go to confession. We live in our human misery most of the time because that's our life. And what Jesus wants to give us is this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied we were going to enter into, echoing the words of St. Honorable de Francia, the spiritual director, if you want to say, the confessor of Luisa. He saw that Luisa is more of heaven than of earth. And even St. Padre Pio said the same thing. Luisa is more of heaven than of earth. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, it changes our life. As Jesus shows us, the happy creature wants to live in the divine will. That this happy creature is bathed in divine light. This bath refreshes the soul, makes the soul feel the divine coolings. And Jesus says this, and since the light, as it forms by its own nature, produces fecundity, divine fecundity, divine sweetness, divine flavors, divine colors. Within this, these veils of light, if you know about Our Lady of America, one of the ways she appeared to Sister Mary Ephraim was Our Lady the Divine Indwelling, and she's veiled, and her veil covers the earth. Why? It's what's coming. The veil is going to be lifted, and we're going to see, experience this divine indwelling that Our Lady showed to Sister Mary Ephraim. Again, it's pointing to the divine will. It's still veiled, but it's coming. It's close. When the veil is lifted, well, when is the veil lifted at the wedding? Right before the marriage. And that's what we're going to experience. This wedding feast that God is getting us ready for, this wedding feast with our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Master, our spouse, is this wedding feast is very, very close. So the Lord looks at us and he asks us, are you going to accept my proposal to you? See, Jesus came to earth to find a bride, and he has the church, and collectively he will marry the church. But he says to Luisa, I want to marry each person individually as if they had their own Jesus. So who you are, nobody else is. You know, people try to dress up and act like another person. You know, they try to impersonate another person. And you can always tell there's something wrong. It's not accurate. And why? Because our uniqueness is what God loves the most. That's why we have different fingerprints, different irises, different shapes, sizes, colors, voices. We're all different. Even though it might be similar to another, it's unique. Even twins, even though they're very close, are different. They might have similarities, but the main thing is this uniqueness that God loves. So when we pray, when we are bathed in this light, by its own nature, Jesus says, this is the divine will, produces this divine fecundity, this divine sweetness, the divine flavors, the divine colors within its veils of light. So he says, while in appearance it seems only light, inside it hides so many beautiful riches and an innumerable divine qualities. Okay, so when we look at the statue of or the image of Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling, she's veiled. Okay, why? Hiding the divine beauties, the divine qualities, such that no other element can be said to be similar to it. So we get a glimpse of what God has planned for humanity. What God has planned for humanity is to share in divinity. That doesn't mean we become gods. It means that this sharing in divinity is this uniqueness within that God has created from the beginning of time. And what does he say to Luisa? He says that my children are going to, each one of them is going to become my divine masterpiece for God. My divine masterpiece. When you go into a museum and you look at all the masterpieces there, each one is beautiful and unique, but they're not divine masterpieces. Some artists might think that, but they are a new, it's a new and divine way of holiness that God is breathing into his children. See, what's coming, as scripture says, is no eye has seen, no ear has heard. What's coming upon the earth, and we're very close to this, is the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And so what our God is showing us through Louisa is we have to give up all that is human. Why? It's still, even though we have been redeemed, we now are being asked to enter into eternity. And that's why when you listen to Our Lady of Revelation, to Bruno in 1947, 40 days after Louisa died, she says basically to Bruno, time has now come to an end. And it's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of Lucifer. His kingdom is coming to a complete end, over, kaput. Now, when you think of kaput, it's as Jesus says to Louisa, my mother crushes the head of Lucifer. And you, Louisa, you're going to put the final kaput on his head. What does that mean? That means that she possesses this divine quality of Mary. Not fully. Mary's Theotokos, Mother of God. No one can compare to the Blessed Mother. But what Louisa possesses, and this is what God wants to share with us, is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. It's a new and divine way of holiness, never before seen. Well, it was seen with Adam, and he lost it, and it was seen with Jesus and Mary when they were on earth, especially at Calvary, through the cross, through the sufferings. But now what Jesus is saying is everything is now full circle. We're back to the garden. And what's in the garden? Adam in the image and likeness of God. And because he lost it, Jesus now has found a human who possesses the new Adam and the new Eve, the life of Jesus and Mary. That's why Our Lady of America says, my children of America will bring purity to the world. What is this purity? It's the pure life of Jesus, the pure life of Mary that's coming to the world. And that's why she says, my children will bring purity to the world. And what is that? The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So God has blessed us in a great way. So for example, this, so our prayer is important. So this weekend in Brazil, we got to pray in the divine will for the new president. What happened in Italy, they're saying is a miracle. We haven't seen anything yet. God is touching every country. God is touching every soul. And he's saying, get ready for what I'm going to do. Now, the evil one wants to destroy everything. And our job is to, in the divine will, pray the command prayer that God wins, that the evil one loses. God is going to win. And the prayer that we pray is his prayer in us. That's why it says, by its own nature, this light forms this divine fecundity, divine sweetness, divine flavors, divine colors within its veil. This is hidden. So while it in appearance, it seems only light, inside it hides so many beautiful riches and so many innumerable divine qualities. What does Our Lady say to Bruno? She says, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong. That's where we belong, in eternity. That's why spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we're getting ready for eternity. We're learning to fall in love with a God who loves us so much that he wants to spend eternity with us. So this new and divine way of holiness that's coming is to live in eternity while on earth, live heaven on earth. Remember Thomas Aquinas would pound the desk And he'd say, this desk is made of wood. He says, it won't last forever. It will be dust someday. He says, but eternity is eternity forever. And that's where we're supposed to live. So what Our Lady is saying to Bruno, again, why? It all points to the divine will. Get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. Get ready to live in eternity. She says, that's where my children belong, to enjoy the beatific vision. So our eyes on earth, when we look at Jesus and the monstrance, our eyes on earth are not focusing yet on who God is. That's coming. To look at Jesus of the Blessed Sacrament, to look at Jesus of the monstrance, to fall in love with our God is what God is looking for. He's waiting for us to do that. Why? So that he, not only do we live in the divine will, but we participate in the beatific vision. She says, that's where my children belong. So when we're mesmerized by the things of the world, the flesh and the devil, God says very clearly, come to me. Watch what I'm going to show you. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The entering into the beatific vision. See, Eve was fascinated by the things of earth. And she fell. And she proposed this to Adam, and he fell. Jesus now says the new Adam Jesus, the new Eve Mary, cannot fall. And when we enter into this life, we begin just a glimpse of the beatific vision. Like my priest friend, just by being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, his problems disappeared in his parish. How? This divine indwelling that happens little by little by little, purified, put back into order any disorder. So in our families, there's disorder. That's the fallen human nature. Not to panic, but to turn to Jesus and Mary and say, they belong to you. And what I want is what you want, Lord, is that they enter into this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, through whom? Through the newborn Luisa. This new and divine way of holiness is very, very close. So what is it? It produces by its own nature, fecundity, sweetness, flavors, colors, this divinity, Sharon divinity, that hides the beautiful riches, the innumerable divine qualities. That's the number six. That's the sixth day of the six steps that Our Lady teaches Luisa in the first 6 days of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. That sixth step is to receive the divine qualities as much as a human can possibly embrace, as much as you want, 30, 60, or 100 fold. It's really up to you. Do you want this? God says, whatever you want, I'm going to give you. If you want hell, you're already living it. And it might be eternally if we don't turn back to God, turn back to the new Adam and the new Eve. So Jesus is saying, I get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. So this beautiful riches, the innumerable divine qualities. And then he says, such that no other element in creation can be similar to the soul who's living in the divine will. Even more, it is from the light that they implore, begging God for the fecundity and the good that each element must do. In all of creation, when you pray the rounds of creation, we begin to witness the divine I love you of God. St. Thomas Aquinas says that. Creation, when you look at creation, you see the love of God. When you pray your rounds, it's not just to see it, but to experience what Jesus did and Mary did on earth, the new Adam and the new Eve. They looked at all creation and gave back to God this, breathed in this divine I love you as human, and breathed back to God this divine I love you as human. And then when we do this with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus, the new Adam, What happens at that point is everything is being recreated. It's imploring the fecundity, this giving of life, the good that each element must do, every animal, vegetable, and mineral, every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand must do in order in which it was placed by God, in the order in which it was placed by God. So when we pray our rounds, it's actually like being in the Garden of Eden. You really begin to experience it. You begin to experience the divine I love you of God. You begin to experience the new and divine way of holiness that Jesus breathed into Louisa. And now he's breathing into us as much as we want or as little as we want. He's not going to interfere with us. So a lot of people are embracing the divine will in a limited manner. A lot of people are looking at the divine will as if it's a devotion. And it's not. It's a life. It's the way Jesus lived and the how Jesus lived. It's the way Mary lived. It's the how Mary lived. That's what they breathed into Louisa. So when we begin to do our acts and our rounds in the divine will, because that's what it says right in the beginning. Those who want to live in the divine will, who does her acts, and it's always in rounds, are bathed in divine light, receiving divine beauty, divine riches, divine qualities. And he says, and from that light, they implore, they beg God that this fecundity, this life, this light, this love, this good that each element must do is given back to God. This, what God has given to the earth, what Jesus and Mary did is praise God, love God, glorify God, worship God, the Father. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So when we do that in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, the face of the earth is changing. What did Our Lady say to Father Gobi in 1997? Everything's completed. Everything's done. What happened in 1996? The writings of Louisa came out of the Vatican. What's happening now is, as John Paul II said, get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. That's why he says, get ready for the third millennium. So what did they have? He gave us the year of Jesus, the year of the Holy Spirit, the year of the Father to prepare for the year 2000. The third millennium, the beginning of the third millennium. What does Padre Pio say? St. Padre Pio said that the world and the church will focus on Louisa Picaretta and the divine will in the new era. We'll focus on Louisa Picaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. That's what he said. He said Louisa is a second sun that's going to give light and life to everyone and everything. Just think about it. As the sun, the natural sun goes down in the east, this is how I describe it, or I think, a new sun comes up. There is no more darkness. Why? The kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. And the evil one who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. That's what's coming. And so our God, as he says, Jesus said to Louisa, I must purify the church, purify the world. I must give everybody what they want. So when we see things happening, our job is to repair and redo. We first thank God. Thank you for showing this to me. Number two, I'm sorry. This is happening to you, Lord. And number three, I want to repair this as you repaired everything, Lord, as Mary repaired everything in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. This new and divine way of holiness is not saintly. It's not good. It's not holy. It's beyond that. That's what we've learned for the last 2,000 years. Now it's a new and divine way of holiness, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass by putting the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. As St. Peter says in his epistle, we were created by God to be divinized. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to say, yes, fiat, let it be done to me as you say. fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. This is what God is. He's showing us how much he loves us, because even though Adam sinned and created the original sin and fell, and all of humanity fell, because he was in charge of humanity. He was the father of all humanity, and Eve was the mother of all humanity. Even though they fell, Jesus waited for the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary, to come to earth to redeem us, get us ready for what? To go back to where Adam was before the fall. And that's sanctification. So God has given us 2,000 years to focus on this Catholic, this universal life. And we failed. And Jesus, if you read the three appeals, what Jesus says to Louisa is, since you haven't come after me, all that I have done, all that I have shed, and what me and my mother, the new Adam and the new Eve have done, I'm now going to come after you. And he says, and it's going to be a war, but it's not a war of blood. It's a war of love. And I'm going to win. God's going to prove to the world that he is our Lord, our master, our King, our Savior, our God, where for all eternity, we're going to adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him. Why? Because that's why we were created, to participate in this beatific vision, constantly in awe of God, as St. Thomas Aquinas says. For all eternity, how beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving our God is. He's asking us to enter into this life, to participate in God. So what is happening is it's a new beginning. And we have to remember, this is not human in the way that the saints embrace God. And when we look at St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, when we look at their ecstasies of love, that's done by doing the will of God. What Jesus is calling us to is living in the will of God, which he says no human has experienced since Adam until Louisa. Now, Jesus and Mary did. Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God, Theotokos. Yes, they possessed this, the new Adam and the new Eve. But the first human next to Adam, born of original sin, is Louisa, a new beginning for humanity, imploring, begging, pleading, longing for the good that each element must do in order, in the order in which it was placed by God. We participate in all of creation. We participate in all of redemption. This is what the rounds are. And that's why Jesus is constant in his talk to Louisa by you must pray the rounds. Now, I know that there are some who have said to me, I pray 8 hours a day. How many prayers do you want me to pray? That's been personally said to me. It's not about prayer. It's about entering the life of Jesus and Mary. It's to live the life of Jesus and Mary. It's not to do as the saints did, but to live as Jesus and Mary lived, where they were in this constant ecstasy of imploring this regeneration of humanity to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future in every element that every element must do in the order placed by God. It's living the life of Jesus and Mary. And again, no one at this point possesses that but Louisa. Louisa possesses it fully. We are longing for it. Yet it is for all eternity, we're going to enter into this life where every microsecond, God's going to expand our capacity of loving him more and more and more for all eternity. So Jesus says, the light can be called the soul of created things. This light, as a matter of fact, we've seen this year, I think it was this year, where when, the moment of conception takes place, there's a spark of light. The soul basically in my understanding, has entered that tiny little one. It's begun. And the potential is to be a great saint, a great child of God. So the light can be called the soul of created things, symbol of our uncreated light, God says. Just as it's the sun, he says, is clouded, dim compared to the light of God. So he says the light is a symbol of our created, uncreated light. This light is the symbol of our divine fiat that animates everything and everyone. That God breathes this in, at the moment of conception. And this is why the evil one hates conception, despises life. He sees God in this breath of light, God's uncreated light, this divine fiat animating these cells to become a child of God. And so with this bath of divine light, as the soul is about to do her acts in it. So Jesus is waiting. He knows what we're going to do. He knows the souls that he has created this at this time where God is with us in a way more so than the saints. This bath of divine light, this cooling, this refreshing, this regeneration, as the soul is about to do her act. So when you do your prevening act in the morning, your actual acts throughout the day, the soul feels herself being sweetened, balmed, and fortified, purified, invested by a beautiful rainbow of the divine colors. Now, what does the evil one want? He wants to spoil this beautiful light, this purification, this sweetness. And so what happens, you have seven colors to the rainbow, and the evil one brings it down to six, never seven. It reflects God. But our job is not to be afraid of the rainbow. Our job is, as Jesus says, my children are going to be like the children of the rainbow. What's the children of the promise? What God breathed on the earth, when you want to say, when Noah succeeded in building the ark. Now think about Noah. I'm going to build a boat in the desert. There's a new song like that. Where there is no rain, Jesus is giving us something beyond what he gave to Noah. Noah was obedient. He built for 120 years. He built that boat in the desert, laughed at, ridiculed, mocked, spit upon. What God is asking of us is to so trust in him that we can receive this bath of divine light. We can begin to feel in ourselves the sweetened, the balmed, fortified, purified, this invested by this rainbow of divine colors that renders the soul so grateful, graceful, so striking, so beautiful that God himself feels enraptured by looking at a beauty so rare. That's us. We become his divine masterpiece. Don't limit God. The devil says, oh, you're no good. It's not going to happen to you. Don't limit God. What we have to do is like Our Lady. How can I do this? She says, I've made a vow of virginity of my life. I'm not going to know man. How can I become the mother of God? And what does the angel say to the Blessed Mother? It is by your fiat, basically, that it's going to be done by the Holy Spirit. So she says, fiat. Fiat mihi. Let it be done as you say. It's the same thing for us. How can we be invested by this beautiful rainbow of divine colors that renders us graceful, striking, and beautiful, that God feels enraptured by looking at us. Image and likeness. He sees himself. That's why volume 1 through volume 10 is to enter into the divine mirror of Jesus. Volume 11 through volume 19 is to enter into the Holy Spirit, this divine life, if you want to say, of the Holy Spirit, beginning that. This is what we're doing in volume 11 through volume 19 or 20. And then volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, going back to where we were before the fall. This is the striking. This is the beauty. This is where God feels enraptured by seeing a beauty so rare in a human. He sees himself in the human. This bath of light is like the preparation to be able to cross the thresholds and tear the veil. Here we go. That hides our divine being to the human creatures. This bath of light, this wanting to live in the divine will, tears the veil. When was the veil torn? In the temple, when Jesus died on the cross, he purified the world, shedding his blood. He redeemed humanity. And now Jesus says, now the second tearing, if you want to say, is to the God is not going to be hiding anymore from us. What does scripture say? What are we now? What are we now as children of God? What we are going to become, we do not know, but when we do see him, we will become like him because we will see him as he is. More so, since it is our interest, God says, that the soul who lives in our divine will be like us, image and likeness, and do not a thing that would be unworthy of the majesty thrice holy. Sin is going to be gone. We're not going to do a thing that would be unworthy of God. Therefore, think that it is a bath of light that my divine will gives you every time that you dispose yourself to do your acts and your rounds in this intermittable light so that you may be attentive. Be attentive, he says, to receive it. Get ready for what God is doing. He's giving us the way and the how. And I've said this before, but I look at the book of heaven as the manual. It's the way and the how to live the life that God planned for humanity. And as we read, as we study, more and more truths are going to set us free. More and more lessons of Jesus are going to make us begin to live this abundant life. It's not far from us. And it's really to be Catholic. This universal life, this Catholic life that Adam lost, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, come to earth to begin this universal life again, this Catholic life again. And now because of Louisa, what's happening? A new and divine way of holiness. Never seen by the saints. He saved the best for last. Again, read, study, put this into practice. Watch what God is going to do. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always, be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.